Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Welcome into the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Bill Bartholomew here with you. And what a treat we have for you today. I am just still so psyched that I was able to coordinate and make this interview happen and bring it to all of you. And that's today's guest, Ricky McKinney of the Blind Boys of Alabama. And the Blind Boys are amongst the top heritage acts when you're talking about the American musical tradition. I mean, just amongst the all-time greats, not only in the gospel context, which they're well known for, but broadly speaking through just their own integration into our broader musical culture. Five-time Grammy Award winners, winners of a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award back in 2009. They've performed at the White House. They've been endowed with a National Heritage Fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts. They've performed at the White House for Presidents Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. I mean, the list goes on and on. Collaborations with all kinds of people outside of the gospel idiom, and which, by the way, ranges from Prince to Lou Reed to Peter Gabriel to Bonnie Raitt to Ben Harper, Bon Iver, Amadou and Mariam. Just a massive, massive, powerful group in terms of our musical heritage. And again, so excited to have Ricky McKinney of the Blind Boys of Alabama here on Bartholomew Town. Now, the group is going to be performing here in Providence, at the Vets, as part of a show called Bamako to Birmingham, Amadou and Mariam and the Blind Boys of Alabama. That's going to be at the Vets, presented by First Works, coming up on April 27th. It's a 7:30 p.m. showtime, again, at the Vets on April 27th. You can get tickets at ppacri.org or call 421-ARTS. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. I don't really have anything else to say. Anytime I get a chance to speak to a musical artist, being a singer-songwriter myself, having spent, you know, at one point for a decade, I was doing exclusively that. Now I balance it with the media stuff in a way. But look, I'm just always so fascinated by the process of great artists in any medium, but especially music. And I hope you are as well. And I hope you can appreciate the fact that, you know, here in Rhode Island, we have opportunities to access some of the great artists of all time through the facilities that we have, be it the Vets, PPAC, the various clubs that we have around the state, particularly in Providence, even the festivals, of course. You know, you're talking Newport Folk, you're talking Rhythm and Roots, which is coming back, you're talking even PVD Fest. It's just, we have a great portal into the great acts. And this is one of those acts. There's no question about it. So Ricky McKinney of the Blind Boys of Alabama here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. A fun conversation. And we just get into some esoteric stuff, some practical stuff, and the journey of an enduring and amazing legendary group. All right. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook. Just search for me, Bill Bartholomew. And if you enjoy the podcast, give us a follow, rating, and review wherever you're listening right now. And go ahead and just share it with people if you enjoy this one. You know, that's the best way that you can support the show. Of course, you can also click the support link wherever you're listening. If you want to go a step further, for as little as $3 per month, you may become a B-Town insider. It's either clicking the support link or going to patreon.com/BartholomewTown. All right, enough of that. Let's get more of this. My conversation with Ricky McKinney of the Blind Boys of Alabama here on the Bartholomew Town Podcast. Blind Boys of Alabama are, I mean, when you talk about heritage acts, not only in terms of within the scope of gospel music, but just in general, in terms of American acts, acts in the world. I mean, this is a project that traces its origins to, 1939, and still is innovating and collaborating and reaching audiences on a wide scale. So first of all, welcome to the show. And I guess, you know, just what does it take to be such an enduring act as the Blind Boys of Alabama have been?
Yes, I'm Ricky McKinney of the Blind Boys, and I want to let people know what it takes is that you have to have determination, and you have to believe in what you're doing, and then you give it all you got. And I've always been a dreamer, and if you can dream the dream, do the work, and keep the faith, things usually work out.
Yeah. And that's injected into the music. There's no question about it, just in terms of the spirituality, the energy, the power of the music that you make. So, you know, looking back over the course of the band, the course of the act, if you will, you know, you've done everything from collaborating in, I guess what you'd say, a more mainstream context with Prince, Lou Reed, Peter Gabriel, Bonnie Raitt, Ben Harper, Bon Iver, so many. You've reached that oftentimes difficult to get to mainstream pop audience, if you will. At the same time, you've never swayed off course in terms of being a legitimate, credible artist within your genre. That's a fascinating thing, and most artists are unable to do that. It's kind of like, okay, well, if you go outside of outside of your lane, suddenly I don't know if selling out's the right word, but you've had to change directions. I guess talk about that. Like, how does that happen? How have you been able to be so nimble in terms of your approach and still remain true to what you set out to do at the beginning?
Well, you know, first of all, the Blind Boys of Alabama are a traditional gospel group. And a gospel group is different from a quote-unquote band. They're a group of guys that came together with one goal, and that was to sing gospel music. And through all the years, we've learned that what's from the heart reaches the heart. And the Blind Boys sing from the soul. So what we're trying to do is to have an open mind. We have met a lot of artists, and as long as the lyrics are good and wholesome and it's feel-good music, we don't mind doing it. We are the kind of group that we are open-minded. We try to sing in a way that people can understand it and make them feel good with the music that we sing. So that's what has kept us going all these years, being able to learn that people need people, and working together does work.
Yeah, and looking back on your career, there was a point in, you know, again, the group in terms of the crossover of members and generations, and I'd like to get to that in just a moment as well, but, you know, at one point in the group's history, in the 1950s, there's an anecdote that's pretty widely known that Ray Charles' manager offered the Blind Boys the opportunity to tour, kind of a big deal, but it would require crossing over. The group stuck to those gospel roots that you speak to. That sort of set the course for the career path of the group. What does that say, and how can that translate to artists right now? Anybody who is either a musical artist or really just anybody who wants to be true to themselves about sticking to what the quote unquote mission is right in front of you and not veering off of that for perhaps short term gain.
Right. At one time, Specialty Records, the Blind Boys and Sam Cooke and different artists were on Specialty. And when Sam Cooke first started singing pop, they asked the Blind Boys to sing some songs like in that genre. But we realized that gospel is what we do. I mean, Sam was singing about Baby, Darling, You Send Me. And we were singing, Lord, I need you to help me. And here I am, Lord, standing in a need of prayer, whatever. But we were reaching out to the people. You know, he sung songs that touched people in one way, and we sung songs that touched people in another way. But we learned, too, that gospel and blues are first cousins to one another. One is talking about baby, and the other one is talking about God. But, you know, we've heard it said that Ray Charles was one of the black boys to do some things. Well, I never heard that before, but they never did anything with Ray Charles. But Sam Cooke and Lou Rawls and all these guys, they come from gospel, and they work with them throughout the years. But anybody, no matter what you're doing, no matter what kind of music you're into, no, if you're a dancer, if you're an artist, or what you do, you have to know within yourself. You have to know within yourself that this is what I want to do. And then you have to figure out what does it take in order for you to get to the place that you want to be in the right kind of way. You know, you have to, it's something you, it's in your heart. If it's in your heart, you're going to be all right.
The group has this enduring legacy that we spoke about earlier. And as such, there's been, you know, members that, of course, Clarence Fountain and others, but I guess, when did you join the group? And I imagine Blind Boys as a group that, you know, you have members that overlap in terms of generations. So it's almost like at one point someone might have been a newer, younger member and is now a more senior member. And that cycle repeats. That's something that can't be replicated or isn't replicated in any way, really, in most musical outfits. It's hard to imagine some of the modern bands just being like, okay, we're bringing in a new member. They're going to eventually take over as the front person or something like that. So when did you join the group? And can you talk about the experience of a multi-generational project that has continued to evolve and continue to innovate and perform here in 2022?
Right. I joined the Blind Boys about 33 years ago. But my history with the Blind Boys started when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
I met Clarence Fountain when I was 4 years old, and Alvis Thomas and George Scott and all the original, Johnny Fields, all the original guys. I knew them back in the day because my mother, Sarah McKinney Shivers, she was a professional gospel singer. She sung with Gene Martin singers. But when I met Clarence back in the day, I had no idea that I would be a member of the Blind Boys of Alabama. I was working with the Blind Boys from time to time. I've been working with the Blind Boys I came on the road when I was 20 years old with another group out of Texas. And we would all be in a package together with different groups. And I was a drummer. And I would play behind the Blind Boys or sometimes sing with the Blind Boys. But I was not a member of the Blind Boys. I'll be 70 years old this year. So, you know, you can count it up from 20 to 70. I've been working at Blind Boys all that time. But Jimmy Carter, he is the senior member of the Blind Boys of Alabama. He turned 90 years old on February the 11th of this year, 2022. I'm going to turn 70 years old in July of 2022. But we are the two members of the band that have been there the longest. We work hand in hand. I love the Blind Boys. I love the Blind Boys, the organization. So by me loving the organization and knowing what the organization was all about, it touches me in a different manner than it does a lot of people. So I try to influence guys that we might bring into the group to know that this is more than just some people getting together singing. We have a mission. The mission is to let people know that a disability doesn't have to be a handicap, because it's not about what you can't do that's important. It's about what you do. And we have been known to be legends in our own time. So you have to respect that, because that's where I am today. And the Brown Boys, we've been around for a long time, but we're still here.
Yeah, Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award winners, 5 Grammy Awards, and all of that secondary to probably just, like you said, that legacy as being this incredibly legendary element of the American musical and cultural tradition. You spoke to the disability aspect of the group, which is something that obviously the title of the group is would point towards. What's that experience like? And I understand it, you know, it's not a criteria having a disability to be a part of the group, but it's certainly a part of your identity in just terms of name. So I guess if you could expand on that a little bit, the challenges and the opportunity that comes from visual disability.
Right. We have learned, I have learned that a disability is just a limitation, and everybody have limitations. My motto is, I'm not blind, I just can't see, which means I lost my vision, but I never lost my direction. And that's where I am today. That's the way I think about life and things that are going on around me. And so, you know, the Blind Boys, we try to find people that are visually impaired. You don't have to be blind. You can be legally blind. Most of the guys that we have today that are singing in the Blind Boys are blind. And we have a sighted guitar player who is a member of the Blind Boys of Alabama. But all the rest of the guys in the group are blind. It's not a criteria, but we do look for blind members, but we don't discriminate.
You're performing here in Providence coming up on April 27th at the Veterans Auditorium. And this is something that is really interesting. It's a show presented by First Works, an arts organization here in southern New England. Bamako to Birmingham, Amadou and Mariam and Blind Boys of Alabama. What's that collaboration all about, and what should people expect from that concert?
This is one of the greatest experiences that people are going to have. They've probably never seen anything like it before. Amadou is blind. Mariam, she's blind also. Amadou is a guitar player, and Mariam is a singer, and they have musicians to accompany them. They are from Mali in the city, and they are from Bamako, and they are African. And we are American black blind singers, and we sing some of our songs, the songs that you want to hear, like I Can See and Amazing Grace and If I Had a Hammer. But we also come together and sing with Amadou and Mariam. And you talking about a time, we have a time. So what you should come looking for is to have a good time, hear some good music, and if you feel like dancing, you're going to get up and dance. You feel like clapping your hands, you're going to clap your hands. But we're going to have a great time.
I want to ask you before we wrap up here just a little bit more about just the journey of your life in music and especially music that's so spiritually driven. And, you know, the connection that you have to the art, the work that you make. And my guess is that based on the power of your performances and the endurance of the band or the group itself, that the music takes you someplace beyond this world. You know, that I think music is one of the few things that almost can outperform science in the sense of like exploring the unknown, exploring the mysterious and elevating human consciousness. I'm curious about your experience with that and what you've learned about this universe that we live in and just the experience of life itself through your music, because it's so powerful and it's so, it seems like it would open up doors internally for you to feel the power of something greater.
Well, you know, when I think about music, music touches everybody. We sing a song with Amadou and Marion that says, two cultures, just one beat. And that's the way it is all over the world. You go different places, they have different cultures. But the music is something that pulls everybody together. Music can make you feel good when you're feeling bad. I've had people that come to me and say, when I came to the concert, I was down, but now I feel good and all kind of things. But the whole thing is that music touches me in a special kind of way, and it's from the heart. And what's from the heart reaches the heart. And inside of every man, there's a soul. And if you can touch that, if your music, no matter what you're doing, if you're dancing, and no matter what you're doing, if it touches people in a way, that's what's important. And my thing today is to let people know, I'm Ricky McKinney, with the Blind Boys, but I try to let people know that no matter what the situation is, no matter where you're coming from, a song can make it better. A song can make it better. A lot of times I'll be going through something and I sing a song. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. And that song lifts my spirit. But if you come out, you're going to have a good time. We're not going to preach to you. We're going to sing to you. And we're going to have a wonderful time. So don't miss it when the boys are back in town.
Yeah, it's coming up in just a couple of weeks here in Providence and beyond as well, because we have a lot of listeners that are outside of the Southern New England region. So you've performed at the White House. You've done just about everything on paper that any artist sets out to do or would want to set out to do. An absolutely legendary group, and great to talk to you, Ricky. We really appreciate it.
I want to thank you for this opportunity just to be a part of your program, because, like I said, people need people, and working together works, and it's a pleasure being a part of what you're doing. And I just want people to know that God loves you, and so do I.
Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.